I want you to put your trust in the Lord. That is why I am going to tell them to you now. I have written down 30 sayings for you. They contain knowledge and good advice. And I will teach you what the truth really is. Then when you are sent to find it out, you will bring back the right answer. Don't take advantage of the poor just because you can. Don't take advantage of those who stand helpless in court. Now we'll move to Proverbs chapter 23. And we'll read from verse 15 to 21. Proverbs 23:15 to 21. Son, if you become wise, I will be very happy. I will be proud when I hear you speaking words of wisdom. Don't be envious of sinful people. Let reverence for the Lord be the concern of your life. If it is you have a bright future. Listen, my child, be wise and give serious thought to the way you live. Don't associate with people who drink too much wine or stuff themselves with food. Drunkards and gluttons will be reduced to poverty. If all you do is eat and sleep, you will soon be wearing rags. And the last we're going to read is Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 and 4. Homes are built on the foundation of wisdom and understanding. Where there is knowledge, the rooms are furnished with valuable, beautiful things.
Great. Thank you very much, Belama. And it'd be really good if you had a Bible in front of you and could have a look at those passages and follow some of them through as we go, because we're jumping around a little bit between 22 and 24. So it'd be good to have that somewhere close to hand, either on your screen or on your Bible. And while you're looking for that, let me pray as we begin. Our loving Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you gave it to us for our learning. Thank you that your Spirit inspired it and indwells us and interprets that word to our hearts. So we pray that you would be with us as we look into your word. Speak to us. Make those things live in us. And may we have listening ears ready to hear what you have to say to us, hearts willing to obey what we hear, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I wonder whether, like me, you ever do any people watching. I was having a coffee in Tesco in Malden the other day, when you were still allowed to have coffees in Malden, in Tesco. And the cafe overlooks the shop floor. I don't know whether you've ever been there. It's a great place for people watching. And if you would indulge my imagination for a moment, reading Proverbs feels to me a bit like people watching with a wise man. Perhaps even people watching with Jesus. I imagine Jesus looking at the hubbub of what's going on around him and coming out with some pithy one-liners about the way life is or the way people are. Perhaps he observes an argument kicking off on the shop floor below and advises against making friends with a hot-tempered person. We see a proverb like that in chapter 22, verse 24. Or maybe he appreciates the skill of the barista making the coffee and just makes a general mark about skilled workers and how they will serve in high places, chapter 22 and verse 29. Or maybe he notices someone a bit worse for wear, buying a trolley full of cheap booze and just makes some observations on drunkenness. We get a vivid description in chapter 23, verses 29 to 35. And so on. So for me, reading Proverbs is a bit like people watching with Jesus. I feel like I'm reading truth, but dressed in street clothes. I feel like I'm hearing God's everyday wisdom for everyday life. And I don't know about you, but when I read Proverbs, I'm not thinking to myself, this is religious moralism. It's not telling me to be what I'm not. It's more like Christian realism. It's telling me to be what I am. Because if you think about it, if Jesus is for us wisdom from God, which is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, if Jesus is for us wisdom from God, then as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, then we grow in his wisdom too. Now today we're looking at a particular part of Proverbs, the 30 sayings of the wise, as they're subtitled. And we're asking the question, what am I supposed to do with these? Or perhaps better, what are they supposed to do with me? And the first thing is, we're called to pay attention to wisdom. Have a look with me at one of the readings that Bellema read, chapter 22, verse 17. We're called to pay attention. Do you see it there? Pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach. For it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I teach you today, even you. Have I not written 30 sayings for you, sayings of counsel and knowledge, teaching you to be honest and to speak the truth, so that you bring back truthful reports to those you serve. Now, if you think about it, that is the big message of the book in a nutshell. Pay attention to the call of wisdom. Jesus, who is wisdom from God, wants us to be wise. It's his call for us to be wise. Now, how does God's wisdom grow in God's people? Well, these verses give us a clue to that answer. We need to engage our ears, he says, our hearts, and our lips. God's wisdom requires our full attention. We kind of follow the journey from the ear to the heart to the lips. We have the entry point in verse 17, the ears. We have the deepest part of us, our heart, literally our belly, in verses 17 and 18. And then we have the exit point at the mouth in verse 18. Now in Hebrew thought, the heart is the control center of your personality. It's the kind of air traffic control of your life. It's where we do our thinking and our choosing and our feeling and our deciding. The heart is the seat of government for your mind and your will and your emotions. That's what the Jewish thought was. God's wisdom will grow in us when we apply that deepest part of ourselves to the task of engaging in his wisdom, paying attention to him. Now, hang on, says someone, that sounds like hard work. That sounds like laborious, boring work, actually. I'm not much of a reader, so I guess I'm doomed to a foolish life. Well, don't give up just yet. Look again at saying number one, because there's loads of encouragement there to keep us applying God's wisdom into our daily lives. Did you notice it? It suggests, doesn't it, that it will give us pleasure in verse 18. It is pleasing when you keep them in your heart. It suggests that it will increase our faith in verse 19, so that your trust may be in the Lord, he says. And it seems to suggest that it will make us more open and honest. Verse 21, teaching you to be honest and to speak the truth. I don't know whether you've read Eugene Peterson's paraphrase called The Message, but in that bit he says these words, treasure its sweetness deep within, give bold expression to it in your speech, and make sure your foundation is trust in God. And I want that. We all want that. We want to feel that kind of pleasure, that kind of faith, that kind of boldness. So how do we get it? By applying our hearts to God's wisdom, ultimately in Jesus. Remember what Paul says. Jesus is for us wisdom from God. So as we put our trust in Jesus and grow in relationship with him, so we grow in his wisdom. So that's the first thing. First, I'm called to pay attention to God's wisdom in Jesus. Second thing is to be or to become a wise son or daughter. Look at verse 15 of chapter 23. My son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad indeed. My inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Now, I wonder, back in the dark, distant past, when we looked at the opening chapters of Proverbs, we've heard those kind of father-to-son speeches before. They're personal. They're heartfelt pleas from a loving father to his undiscerning sons and daughters. There's often a lot of warnings in them to avoid the obvious kind of gateway sins like drunkenness and gluttony, verse 20, or adultery in verse 27. There are pleas to listen. You hear that repeatedly, verse 19 and verse 22. There are pleas not to despise, verse 22, but to delight in the ways of a righteous father and mother, verse 26. And to bring joy to their hearts by following their example in verse 25. And there's speeches that really aim for the heart. It's a plea from the heart of a father to the heart of a son. And just notice how many times the heart is mentioned. Verse 15, if your heart is wise. Verse 17, do not let your heart envy sinners. Verse 19, set your heart on the right path. Or 26, my son, give me your heart. I wonder what we're to make of these heartfelt pleas. Well, to me, this is the cry of God's heart, isn't it? The cry of God's heart for you and for me. It's the plea of Christ to his church. It's our Heavenly Father's call to your heart and mine to be wise. He longs for his children to be wise, and he sent Jesus to be our wisdom, that is, our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption, as Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. We cannot be wise without Jesus, is what he's saying. And as we put our hearts in his hands, so our lives are redeemed and we can become righteous, holy, and wise in him. Now, what does that look like? What does a righteous child, chapter 3, verse 24, what does a righteous child of God look like? Well, the whole Bible fills out that portrait, doesn't it? And we have a kind of sketch, an outline of it in Proverbs itself. And then if we drill right down into just a couple of verses, verses 17 and 18 of chapter 23, we've got a kind of thumbnail sketch there of what a righteous child of God looks like. Look there with me, 17 and 18 of chapter 23. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. What that's saying is, a wise child of God is someone who can look at other sinners and not envy their God-ignoring lives. And not fall for their ever so attractive lies. You know the ones. The ones that say, there is no God. Anything goes. Make our own rules. Live our own lives. Do our own thing. Or John Lennon put it a different way, didn't he? He said, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. In other words, there is no maker, there is no saviour, there is no judge, and only crazy people believe that. That's the lies. We're free to live as we please. If you think about it, when Paul said to live is Christ and to die is gain, That has long been replaced, hasn't it? To live is self, and to die is loss. The wise child of God is someone who can look at other sinners and say, I don't buy your lies, and I don't buy your lifestyles. I'm zealous, instead, for the fear of the Lord. Now, we've heard about the fear of the Lord already in Proverbs, haven't we? We know that it's the beginning of wisdom. But what does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, don't be put off by the word fear. Embrace it. It's a useful word to describe a healthy relationship with the Lord. It means a kind of humble devotion to the God who made us, the God who saves us, and relates to us now in Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not a cringing terror, it's a reverent awe. It's not a fear of judgment, it's a worshipful submission. It means to love God in Jesus more than my sin. It means to make a wholehearted, whole life commitment to a loving Father who sent his Son to die for me and to be for me wisdom from God. Now, hang on, says someone, that sounds like a very hard ask. I'm not strong enough to be someone like that. I'll never keep it up. I may as well give up hope now. And I kind of want to agree, we aren't strong enough on our own. Our hearts still envy sinners, and we're not always zealous for the fear of the Lord. You know that if you know your heart at all well. But the point is, Jesus is. He does not envy sinners, and he's always zealous for the fear of the Lord. And that is why we have a hope for the future. Remember what Paul said again. Jesus is for us wisdom from God. So as we put our trust in Jesus and grow in relationship with him, so we have the opportunity to grow in his wisdom. Jesus makes us wise sons and daughters of God. So we need to pay attention to him and do not give up hope, because Jesus will produce his wisdom in us as we cooperate with him. He does it by his Spirit. What does his wisdom build into us? That's my third and final point. Wisdom builds a beautiful life. Look with me at chapter 24 and verses 3 and 4. A lovely illustration. Verse 3, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Now, we can see that it takes wisdom to build a house and establish it on its foundations and then fill it with beautiful things. And the point is, the same is true for a life. It takes wisdom to build a life. And God, in his wisdom, can build a beautiful life in the ugliest of places, in the ugliest of people. And I'm so grateful for that, because it gives me hope. Hope that Jesus, in his gospel wisdom, can build a beautiful life out of mine. Out of anyone made ugly by sin and selfishness. And he does it as we put our trust in Jesus, our wisdom, and keep in step with his Spirit, who is at work in us to kill sin and to make us more like Jesus. And we keep in step with his Spirit when we say no to ungodliness. Like Paul says in Titus chapter 2, we say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. And many of the Proverbs provide digestible kind of nuggets of wisdom to help us to say no to ungodliness and to say yes to godliness. For example, that vivid warning against drunkenness in chapter 23, verses 29 to 35. Have a look there. We haven't got time to read it all, but just have a look at a couple of verses. Chapter 23, verse 31. Do not gaze at wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. And we kind of smile at that description because it's so recognizable, but it's designed to reveal the attractive poison that alcohol becomes should we linger over it and become dependent upon it and addicted to it. So on the negative side, God's wisdom warns us against the gateway sins, you know, that might lead us down a dark and destructive path. But on the positive side, wisdom provides everything we need to build this beautiful life. We get many examples in the sayings in verses 20 to sayings 20 to 30. And of course, we don't have time to look at them all. But let me just pull out a couple for us to think about. The first is this: wisdom rescues. Look at that in chapter 24, verses 11 and 12. 11, rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. If you say, but we know nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Now, I know these are general truths about everyday life and experiences. We are people watching with Jesus, if you remember. But they can also contain spiritual truth for us to apply. So when I read that, on one level, I hear Jesus saying, a wise person rescues those who by their own actions or by the actions of others are in serious trouble. But on a deeper level, I hear gospel wisdom in those verses, don't you? I hear Jesus rescuing me and calling me to go and rescue others from spiritual death and a lost eternity. Now, you're sensible people, you can make up your own mind what you think it's saying, but wisdom produces a heart for the lost. That's what I think that verse is saying in its deepest sense. And the Lord weighs the heart, our heart, your heart, my heart, on that matter. Wisdom rescues. And secondly, a second example is that wisdom sweetens our lives with hope. Look at chapter 24, verses 13 and 14. 24, 13 and 14. Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know also that wisdom is like honey for you. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. I love that. So a wise son knows that honey is good and sweet to the taste, and on a deeper level also knows that God's wisdom is good and tastes sweet in his mouth also. And the wise child of God knows that too. And in the light of gospel wisdom also knows that Jesus, in Jesus, we have not just a future hope, but we have an eternal hope in him. I don't know about you, but this gospel hope is sweet to my taste. It's sweet to my taste in bitter experiences. It's the only thing that sustains my life and strengthens my soul like nothing else will. I don't know how the last 9 months have been for you, but I imagine, like me, your faith has been tested a bit in uncertain times. Perhaps you've experienced a greater level of anxiety or fear because of this pandemic. Perhaps you've been ill yourself. Maybe you've lost a friend or a relative to the virus. Maybe you've just felt more isolated and alone than at any other time in your life. Perhaps as we enter a second lockdown, you just feel a loss of hope for the future. I don't know where you are in your faith this morning, but I do know this. God's wisdom in Jesus is still building beautiful lives in ugly places and people. God's wisdom in Jesus is still rescuing lost souls today. and still bringing strength and sweetness into the lives of those who put their trust in Jesus. So let me urge you today, whoever you are, whatever you've done, wherever you live, put your trust in Jesus, whether that's for the first time or whether that's for the thousandth time. I urge you to pay attention to his gospel wisdom and to let him make a wise son or daughter out of you. If you get a moment, read through those 30 sayings and rediscover what his wisdom does. His wisdom establishes and beautifies and empowers and guides and overcomes and rescues and sweetens and perseveres. And ultimately, his wisdom fears the Lord. So will you pray with me that we will pay attention to God's wisdom in Jesus, and that he will continue to build in us that beautiful life? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your wisdom in your book and your wisdom enfleshed in our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us ears to hear his gospel wisdom, hearts that are willing to submit to him, lives that are made wise and beautiful like him, and mouths that are ready to speak a message of cross-shaped wisdom and save others from a lost eternity. For we ask it in the name of Christ, our wisdom. Amen.